ask you to do a little extra work this morning for me. Would you do it? Can I get everybody to sing for the second and the third song? In your book, verses 1, I believe, and verse 4, I believe whatever verse the number is that says, "And the beauty of the lilies." So you all sing with us today. Thank you, Lord. Sing along together with us today. 303? Yes, ma'am. 303. And the next one will be 302. I want to hear you all singing to God. Hallelujah. How many love God this morning?
God shed his
God praise for what he's done for us. Give God praise for the country that he's blessed. And let us know that nothing that God touches is nothing but great. Stay standing, Morgan.
Oh, I want to get everybody excited. I want to get everybody excited. I want you to be excited. How many want to be excited today? Me! Pray with me this morning. Let's pray to God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Be seated. Amen and amen. Deliver us from evil. He's done that for 254 years, delivering us from evil. Because we called upon the name of the Lord. Because we are a blessed nation. Because we've called on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to get into this today. Hope you're all with me. Good morning, everybody. Responsive reading. You guys are all looking good this morning. Praise God. Hope you all praying for those who aren't here today. Miss Dale hasn't made it today. We pray for her. George and Pat. George Mako's birthday. He's 87 years old today. 87 years old. And we're just blessed to have him, call him a brother. And Miss Pat had a good testimony. I hope somebody's got a good testimony this week. But Miss Pat had a good testimony. Last year we thought we were going to lose her in the nursing home. She went to one more doctor. We were told to go one more doctor. And today she says she feels great. Everything is good. Her heart's good. Her blood pressure's good. And everything's good. Thank you, Lord. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. When I lift up my hands, when I give you my all, when I sacrifice all I am. Hallelujah. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. And with my song, I will praise him. What we did this morning, praising God. God bless me with that song. We are God's people. I love that song because it's one simple message saying we are God's people. With our songs, we praise his name. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Hallelujah. Bear them up forever. Thank you, Lord. What God touches, whatever in your life, whatever prayer he has answered, it's been a blessing. Anytime you've called on God and he's answered, it's been nothing but a blessing. You have great testimonies because you've lived the life that you have today because of God lifting you up. And his blessings not only fall on you, but when you stand with God, they fall on your children. And I know that's important to you. And understand that children see. They see your weakness. They see if you're not quite with it. They see if you're half-hearted. And if you're half-hearted, guess what? Your children will be half-hearted. But when you stand with the Lord and you stand strong, nobody's perfect. Nothing is perfect, but the stronger you stand with God, the more they want to stand with God. And when they see the benefits of walking with God, they will not turn the other way. Amen. That's our God. When somebody just reaches up, he takes their hand and he lifts them up. That's our God. That's how great our God is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who or what was the book of Acts addressed to? When the book of Acts was written, who was it addressed to? Was it addressed to the church in Jerusalem? Was it addressed to Theopolis, or was it addressed to the body of Christ? To whom or what was the book of Acts addressed to? The book of Acts. How many think it was the church in Jerusalem? Praise God. How many think it was Theopolis? How many think it was the body of Christ? That would be C. The book of Acts, right in the beginning. Page 1. The former account I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day which I was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given me commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. The book was dedicated, written, addressed to Theopolis. What woman came back to life after Peter prayed for her? This is what people forget. Everybody remembers Lazarus. But what woman came back to life after Peter prayed for her? Was it A, Mary Magdalene? Boy, they think she was. I'm going to give that one away. They think she was everywhere. How many think she was the woman that the prostitute? I shouldn't even go there because I just gave away one of the answers. But I've had so many people in my life tell me that the woman that Jesus forgave of prostitution, well, that was Mary Magdalene. I said, no, it wasn't. You didn't read. You got to read. It wasn't her. I gave one. So what woman came back to life after Peter prayed for her? Was it Mary Magdalene? Or was it Sarah? Or C, was it Tabitha? How many think that it was Sarah? How many think it was Tabitha? Thank you, Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas, D-O-R-C-A-S. I don't know how to pronounce that. I've never heard that. And this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. She put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. Hallelujah. That sound familiar? Remember the story of the girl that Jesus goes and they say, don't waste your time because she's dead. And what does he do? One simple thing he does. Pay attention. He sent everybody else out. Why would he do that? Because he didn't want one ounce of unbelief when he was in there. What he was going to do was a miracle. What Peter was going to do was beyond these people's comprehension. So Peter said, you need to leave. I can't do this if you're going to stand here praying over hoping and wishing while I'm praying and believing. Amen? So her name was Tabitha. Yeah, I bet you all thought that was Samantha's daughter, right? What's the name of that show? That's it. Little girl was Tabitha. The church in Rome was held in whose house? And this is interesting. The church in Rome was held in somebody's house? You mean it wasn't a big cathedral? No. Everybody, they had meetings in their house. You're blessed to have this house. I'm telling you, you might take it for granted, but you're blessed to have this house, right, Bonnie? This is a blessing. The church in Rome was held in whose house? Was it A, Lydia's? Was it B, Priscilla and Aquila's? Or C, was it Peter's house? So the church in Rome was held in whose house? How many think it was Lydia's house? Anybody A? How about B, Priscilla and Aquila's house? And C, Peter. Anybody think it was Peter's house? The church in Rome was held in the house of Priscilla and Aquila's house. Praise the Lord. Hi, John. Good to see you, brother. Those are pretty good questions and pretty good. The church in Rome was in somebody's house? Yes. We've been taking granted. I'm sorry, but I have to be honest, and we all take for granted God's love. We do. We take for granted his mercy and everything because we just live our life and we forget that everything he gave us that's free, we think, well, it's going to be there always. Amen? So we do the same thing with what we're around us today. The word is freedom. We sang those songs today, glory, glory, hallelujah. If you sang when hallelujah meant, you would say, glory, glory, praise the Lord. Glory, glory, praise the Lord. And why do we do it? Because God has blessed us. Not because he likes us, but because we invited him. We asked him to bless us because we made him the father of our country. In God we trust. Amen. That's just the motto. But the people building this country had that God, had the nerve to build something on the values of the Lord and the Bible. They weren't all Christian people, but they all stood together when it came time to build the country on God. Understand that. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, get with me now. I'm ready. I need somebody else to be ready. All right, here we go. Woo, I love this. We are truly a blessed nation. Say that with me. Okay? We are truly a blessed nation. Is that hard to say? We have wealth. We have beauty. We have natural resources. The whole country is full of stuff. We walk in freedom. Say that with me. We walk in freedom. to live, to believe anything is possible, to disagree, to worship God. And I wrote, there are times just like with God, we take those freedoms for granted. We do. We wake up every day and never think about it. Someone else paid the price and is still paying that price today. Somebody else paid the price for us to be able to be here. And people are out there right now paying the same price. And let me tell you this, and I know you know this, but maybe you haven't thought about it. The world is very large out there, and there are millions and millions of men, women, and children who don't have what we have. Millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people don't have what we have. You and I have here. Just a thousand miles off our from here, off the coast of Florida, there's an island. Anybody ever know about that island? People can't leave it. They can't even leave it if they want to. They can't do it. And it's only right there. It's right in your own eyesight. There's a country right in South America, right down the coast in South America, that's living with no medicine, no water, no food, because they have no God, because they've let somebody take over who doesn't know God. So it's this close. There are countries in the world that they don't have any freedom to say and do what they want, to write something, write an opinion. How many got opinions? You better not say them in some of the, that's the truth. That's all I'm saying. You can't deny that it's the truth. Millions and millions of men and women and children who don't have what we have. Thank you, Lord. When you go to anybody, have you ever been in court or not, but you'll see on TV, when they tell you, take up, stand up and raise your right hand and repeat after me. Amen. You ever see that? It says, do you swear to tell the truth, the?
All the truth.
And nothing but? You know what the hard part of that whole thing is? What's the hard part?
The whole truth.
The whole truth. You see, the whole truth, if you're gonna tell some truth, and then you got to put it in there. I got to tell you the whole truth? That's the hard part. The whole truth. It just changes everything. You know, I read a couple, how many remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the Roman Empire, and to be a citizen, you had some benefits, Bill, of being a citizen. And one of the benefits were that if somebody had an accusation against you, you were able to go to Caesar's court and fight that. You took it to Caesar's court because this guy said something about me. And the Roman law was, if the person bringing the accusation against you is found to be false, or if that person lied, according to Roman courts, that person paid the penalty that they wanted you to pay for doing it. I said, that's pretty interesting. Can you imagine that today in this world? If somebody made an accusation against you and it was false, that they would have to pay that price? Amen?
Judge Judy.
Yeah, Judge Judy. She's tough, boy. Don't mess with Judge Judy. She's gotten cranky as she got older, too.
Yeah.
She knows, you don't know. And Judge Judy's really funny because it kind of goes, if you're on welfare, and there's nothing wrong with that, please, thank God my mother had help, we all had help, but if you're on welfare and you go to Judge Judy and you're complaining about something with money and stuff, and she'll be on you. She's saying, well, how did you get all that on welfare? Did you report all that? I mean, she lays the hammer down.
You probably have a pit bull.
Oh, a pit bull, yes, she don't like pit bulls. That's great. So the whole truth, do you swear to tell the truth, the? And nothing but the truth. So the whole truth is the hard part. It exposes false assumptions first. It reveals too much information. The whole truth ruins the story simply because the end of the story is not always what it seems to be. Amen? So you get the end of the story, and this is my little example of that. There were these two people, and the FBI caught them, and they caught them in the car, and the FBI shot both of these people. So the story would be in the paper the next day, according to what we see today, the FBI murders a man and woman sitting in the car. The man and woman were Bonnie and Clyde. So you need to hold in the whole story, you see. You say, oh, that's terrible. We got to protest the police. Look what they did. Time out. You don't know the whole story. It was Bonnie and Clyde. Amen. That's what I'm trying to, it's the whole truth. See, because the end of the story is never all the story. It exposes too much. And this is what we're getting to. So how can you get this to the Pastor Larry? You know, I know it sounds a little political and it sounds all kind, but let's get to God. Psalm 33:12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Anybody understand? Everybody understand that? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Who's our God?
Lord.
So we are what?
Blessed.
By who? So I dare anybody to say this isn't a great nation because we're blessed by God. I don't care what man says. I don't care what people get angry about. It's we are blessed by God because what God always does is what? Great. Amen? And I'm telling you, when you look at some of the things you're hearing and seeing, you know, the Bible talks about the unpardonable sin. Jesus never did, but the Bible says the unpardonable sin is somebody who just won't give God anything, won't give the Holy Spirit anything, won't ask for forgiveness, doesn't think they need God, doesn't believe there is a God, and doesn't believe God even exists or is any good. And there's some people on the verge of this sin. You know, I'm not judging them. I'm just saying what they're saying, Bonnie, is they're acting like they don't believe there is a God. So if they don't believe there is a God, they'll never ask forgiveness from who? From God. And I'm saying, you're seeing, hate is an awful disease. And I'm telling you, hate is one of the devil's best fastballs. If he can get you to hate something or hate somebody, he's won a great battle. Because that hate will divide people who are normally friends. It's like that, amen? It's not like Red Sox Yankee fans anymore. It's gotten so much worse because that disease called hate from Satan has gotten into people's, they can't just disagree. Thank you, Lord. Hate is destroying people's minds. And it's sort of like the unpardonable sin because some people who won't give God one inch, who won't even acknowledge, who calls this book hate speech. Now, I don't know if you ever heard that, but I hear it a lot. I hear people attacking this saying it's hate speech. Those people are not going to ask anything from God. So how much forgiveness do you think they're going to desire? I just pray for them. I pray that someday their eyes get open and just like, you know, they criticize. They criticize men in the past, and they want to throw out all those men in the past. I tell you, if Christians were like that, we wouldn't read half the Bible because a man named Paul wrote half the New Testament. And what did Paul do? He killed Christians. What was his greatest desire? To kill all Christians, to be the greatest Pharaoh of all time and going out and kill Christians. That was what he wanted to do. He said so. And God met him face to face on the road to Damascus. And what happened to Paul? He saw the light. And he changed, his heart changed, he understood, and he gave us almost half of the, 3/4 of the New Testament written by that man. Do we want to throw that out because he was a sinner?
No.
I don't want to do that. Amen? I praise him because of what, I look up to him for what he did in his life, that he was here and he saw God and he changed it, and that's courage, and that takes strength to do that. Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." So, it was, you know, okay, so what does that mean about great? Let me read this, John 15:13. I think you got all these down in your bulletin. You can read them later, but I'll read it to you today. John 15:13, this is what it says. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Sacrifice your life for one of your friends. The Bible says greater love. Greater love has no one, none this, than to lay down one's life. Greater love. Thank you, Lord. Greater love. Thank you, Lord. Freedom. No word was ever spoken that held out greater hope, demanded greater sacrifice, needed more to be nurtured, blessed more the giver, cursed more its destroyer, or came closer to being God's will on earth, and I think that's worth fighting for. Omar Bradley said that. Freedom is God's gift to earth, being God's will on earth, freedom. And he said it was worth fighting for, freedom. No one, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now you use the word friends, interestingly, amen? But you're not all people that you have to know. In 1944, world freedom hung in the balance as American soldiers and their allies prepared for the largest amphibious attack in history. In what? Hitler's troops had dominated Europe and had occupied France. Now the Nazis were systematically murdering millions of innocent civilians. Millions of innocent civilians. On June 6th, the Allied forces under the leadership of General Dwight Eisenhower began the liberation of Europe by launching Operation Overlord, an invasion that included over 5,000 ships, 10,000 airplanes, and 150,000 servicemen and women. Most of the young soldiers who waded into the beaches of Normandy that morning were under 20 years of age. They carried 80 pounds of equipment through the surf as they sprinted into the firestorm of German bullets. And once the Allied soldiers had scrambled across 200 yards of unprotected beach to reach the base of the Normandy cliffs, they then climbed up to the top where they engaged and defeated heavily fortified Germans. D-Day, June 6, 1944, was a day that changed the course of history. Changed what?
Course.
The course of what?
History.
On that day, 4,000 Allied soldiers died for the cause of freedom. May we remember them always as we do all the heroes and patriots who paid for the American dream with their blood and their tears. And may we never stop fighting in defense of the liberties they held dear. Freedom. No greater love has one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. They didn't even know those people. They had no idea who they were protecting. Hallelujah. Amen? They had no idea, but there they were, protecting their what? Their freedom. Why? Because they believed freedom came from who? God. Unalienable rights. Anybody ever look up the word unalienable? Let me tell you what it means. Absolute, unchangeable, non-negotiable. Our rights are with God. Unalienable rights for freedom, the pursuit of happiness. And these men believe that. Hallelujah. The Declaration of Independence. Thank you, Lord. The Declaration of Independence continues the words that are so familiar and so reassuring. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And because we are free to pursue our hopes and dreams, we Americans are a nation of optimists. Of what? How many are optimists? I am. America was built by men and women who possessed mountain-moving faith, faith in themselves, faith in each other, and faith in their nation, and guess what other faith? In their God. In the future, America will be sustained by men and women of faith and optimism. John F. Kennedy was correct when he observed, "The American by nature is optimistic. He is an experimental, an inventor, a builder who builds best when he is called upon to build greatly." Greatly. Our nation steadfastly preserves the right of the naysayers to complain to their heart's content. Let me read this because I love this for this. Our nation steadfastly preserves the right of the naysayers to complain to their heart's content, but we seldom follow them. Yeah, there's a lot of naysayers, amen? And Kennedy was saying, but we never follow them. Why would we follow naysayers? Instead, we find leaders who can help us visualize and realize the possibilities of America. The possibilities of what? Do you seek to be a leader here in the land of the free and the home of the brave? If so, be forewarned. Pessimists need not apply. America was founded by optimists, built by optimists, and preserved by optimists. And for that matter, America is populated by a people who are, by and large, optimistic to the core. We Americans can do great things precisely because we think we can. Thank you, Lord. The whole truth and nothing but the 86 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Isn't that a beautiful flag, by the way? I want you to see that flag. Maybe, John, you can bring it out later and let everybody see that flag. That flag right there. Amen. 85 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, America fell into what they call the American Civil War. The whole truth, approximately 400,000 Union deaths. 400,000 people died, Union soldiers, fathers, sons, brothers, uncles, cousins. They gave all. They gave all. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for his friends. 400,000 Union soldiers gave their life, the whole truth. Not to mention their families. How much did they lose? They lost everything. They sent their loved ones out to fight a battle for freedom, to fight a battle for liberty. To free men and women and children they would never know or meet. Can you imagine that? These men went out to fight and for people they would never meet, they would never see, they wouldn't even know the fruit of their labor, except they knew it was the right thing to do because of who? Because of their faith in God. Because freedom was from God, and they stood on that freedom. They carried that flag into that freedom. They would never know them. It was the right thing to do for freedom. The whole truth. Thank you, Lord. This grand experiment that is our American democracy has, on countless occasions, been tested to the crucible of history. In the beginning, men with familiar names like Washington, Jefferson, and Franklin patched together a fledgling nation. Less than 100 years later, that nation divided against itself in a terrible conflict that claimed the lives of more of its soldiers than all other American wars combined. In the first years of the 20th century, the winds of war blew hot and fierce across the European continent. The war to end all wars brought worldwide carnage. That was World War I. But it didn't end war. A generation after World War I, on a sunny December morning in 1941, Old Glory was dealt a staggering blow at Pearl Harbor. But the brave sons and daughters of America rose up as one and saved not only their nation, but also the world. America's best and bravest have carried that banner of freedom, fought for it, and sometimes died for it, and they continue to do so today. These dedicated men and women serve in a variety of ways, in the military, in the police, in firefighting, and healthcare, to name a few. Sometimes their service takes them thousands of miles from home, and sometimes they're right next door. But wherever they happen to be, however they choose to serve, we are grateful Americans, and we thank them. Hallelujah. We thank them. How many want to thank them? I want to thank them. When a fireman sees a house on fire, does he ask who's in the house? Does he ask who the people were? Did he ask if those people were rich or poor? No. What does the fireman do? He goes where? Into the house. When a police officer sees somebody in trouble, sees a car on fire, sees things happening, does he ask who are they in there, or does he go and help? Does he serve others? He doesn't even know the people, yet they serve others. They serve healthcare people. Just like today, you're seeing healthcare workers today doing above and beyond what we thought they have to do. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They carried that flag. They carried that flag through Europe, through all the countries. Everybody saw that flag. And when they saw that flag, they saw help. They saw people that would fight for them that they didn't know. They saw people, soldiers and men and women come in and do things for them that they would never meet, because they believed that freedom was from God, and they believed that everybody had a right to that freedom. And they carried that flag. That's what the world sees, that flag today. Can I get an amen? Anybody have any idea what happened? 134 years ago, this coming Tuesday, the French gave us something we call the Statue of Liberty. The French gave that to us. The Statue of Liberty, saying welcome anybody poor, anybody that wants to come to America. How many were welcome? All were welcome. The French gave us that statue, and that statue is right there in the harbor of New York. It was a gift from another country because of what we did for them. They don't forget. They see that flag in all places in all them countries. They see it, and it represents something to them. It represents people who gave their life for people they'll never know. And the Bible says that's the greatest gift to give. And that's a great gift from who? God. That's the nation that you live in, that you were blessed to be born in. Anybody choose to be born here? No. God planted you here. If you're a citizen, God gave you that blessing. But you're living under the blessing of those of us who pray for God and ask God. 134 years ago, they gave us the Statue of Liberty. And it's one thing is really interesting about that statue. And it says, welcome all the poor and our needy. There was the whole truth and nothing but the whole truth is, there was one little regulation, one little thing that America asked the people to do with that Statue of Liberty when they came here. Anybody want to guess what that was? It was to use the door. If you're going to come to America, use the door. Say, what's that got to do with God? Well, let me read you what God says. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus tells us in John 10:1, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You say, well, we're supposed to be compassionate. Absolutely. We're supposed to welcome everybody. Absolutely. But we have one little request, that you use the door. All are welcome with one request, that they come in through the door. Do you say that's against God? No. No, God says if you go any other way, you're a thief and a robber. You have a big yard in your backyard, and you get something, and all of a sudden you notice that your electric bill is twice what it was last month. And you say, what's going on? Well, so those people over there, they ran an extension cord by your attic, and they're running all your electricity. They didn't ask you. So what do you say? Okay, I'll pay your electric bill? No, why not? You want to be compassionate because they stole it. They didn't knock on your door. If they knock on Greg's door and said, I need help, Greg would give it to you. That's what we all are. We want to help others. We give to others. But if somebody goes around the back way and starts to steal from you, take stuff that belongs out of your barn, well, you don't need it. You got a big barn. What are they doing? You see, that's the whole truth is the hard part. See, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, that's the whole truth. We got that Statue of Liberty. Welcome everybody, but please, could you just use the door so we can welcome you and you can welcome us and we can know who you are. The whole truth of the matter is, for those people that fight this, when they had a place called Ellis Island, anybody ever remember Ellis Island? Not everybody got in. They wanted to know how much you made, what kind of occupation you had, what kind of health you had. They had rules. But God has one rule, that you use the door. So when people say you're not being very Christian by not letting people in, I say we let everybody in. We help everybody. We help people in need. But the Bible says they need to use the door. I'll read it again. It's very powerful. John 10:1, most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Because the Bible says that we all need to do things in decency and order. Understand? Decency and order. That's the whole truth. Decency and order. This flag right here. This flag, you know what it represents? It represents that people in Poland can speak Polish today. It represents that people in France can speak French today. It represents that people in England can speak English today. Because of men and women who serve that flag and serve the world. Don't tell me this ain't a great country. You're crazy. Because you don't know the whole truth. Somebody's out there peddling the end of the story, saying that's the truth, and that's a lie from the pits of hell. Because the whole truth is, this whole world looks at that flag saying, thank you, Lord, that somebody came and helped me. Thank you, Lord, that somebody came and thought enough of me that I didn't even know that helped me. When they look at that flag, they look at freedom. We got people looking at that flag now with disdain, and that's understandable because we have freedom, and we're allowed to say and do things. But it's not the truth, and it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is, this is a great nation, not because of man. We're not great, and we're not perfect. We're a work in progress, all of them. It's not anything to do with us. It's all about our faith in God, the unalienable rights given to us by God. And those men and women, 400,000 men in the Civil War died. They went out from their house, their farm, whatever they had, their family, and they gave their life so somebody could be free. It took 86 years to figure out that wasn't the right thing to do. But it's not America who invented that. That's the whole truth. That stuff that happened in the South, that wasn't America's idea. That was the world's idea. That was accepted in the world. People were selling these people. That's how sick it was. But here's a blessing you might not think of. This is a very special blessing. Those people that were brought here, by no will of their own, they were brought here. Now they live here, and their families live here. What a blessing that is. You think any of them want to go back to the homeland? I don't know if they do or not, but I never hear anybody saying that. So in God's way, you see, they were taken here, and they could say, look, oh God, what are you doing to me? And God had a plan. You see, their lives and their family's lives are better now because they live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. 400,000 people. And I just read to you about Europe. Hitler was ready to take over the entire Europe, everything, every country. And because America got involved, because they say, that's not free, that's not right, that's not God. Those people in Italy can speak Italian today. And it's not a little thing. You know, it's a little thing now to us because we just take it for granted. But how many taught, if I told you back in November of last year that you won't be able to go to church this year, who would have believed me? Or you wouldn't be able to go to a nightclub, or you wouldn't be able to go to a restaurant and have a meal. Who would have believed me? That's people say you couldn't go fishing, or you couldn't work in the yard. Who would have believed me? Who would have believed it? Nobody. You have to believe that what happened is real. And these men and women over here who carried that flag, if for nothing, if for no other reason, you say thank you for that flag giving me the liberty to complain all I want. And just like Kennedy said, there's a lot of naysayers, amen? But we don't follow the naysayers. We follow the optimists. How many people, if you had a family, and you know a tornado was imminent, listen to me, if you're in the house and your kids are there, and there's a tornado coming, look out, what would you say to your kids? We're going to die. Or would you tell them, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Who lied? Is that a lie? Why would you say that? If a tornado hits the house, we might die. So why would you say, we're going to be all right? Because you're an optimist, because you believe God. Because if you saw your kid fall down, and we all had kids, and they hurt their leg, maybe they broke their ankle, maybe they got a real bad gash in their leg, and it's bleeding real bad, what do you say? Oh my God, you're going to lose your leg! What do you say to your kids? You're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You're lying to them, aren't you? You're lying to them. Their leg is cut open, the bone's sticking out. You're going to be okay. That's the nature of us. That's the nature of God. That's the optimist of the American. See, people are crazy. People want to hear something good. They don't want to hear gloom and doom. We understand gloom. How many understand gloom and doom? I get it. But we don't want to hear it from our leaders. I want to hear something good. I want to hear something good about my country because of God. I don't care who you like or who you don't like. That's crazy. We all got ideas and our opinions. But not with God. I don't have any opinions about God except that He's great. And blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And I believe that. This nation has everything that it has because of God. I believe that. So I believe when I see that flag, I thank God for those stars and stripes and for those men and women that you'll never meet. Thank you, Lord. On a tomb in Washington and Arlington Cemetery. Nobody even knows who the soldier was. Nobody knows except God. It's called the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And there's a saying on there that'll just touch you really deep saying, we don't know who you are, but we thank you for what you did. We thank you for your service, and we thank you for God, because God knows who they are. You don't know the people fighting. You don't know the police officers. You don't know the families that they leave behind every day. I know sometimes there's not a good cop. Sometimes there's not a good doctor, amen? Sometimes there's not a good teacher. What does that mean? We should throw all the teachers out, all the doctors out? No. But we have to understand that these people, these men and women who serve in medical, who health care, all these different things, firefighters, they give their life for their job. They leave their family. They leave their beds. They leave their mothers and their fathers and their children at home, and they go fight these battles for people they don't know, people they may never meet, like our soldiers did that time and time again in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, because it was worth fighting for. This nation is great, not because of man, but because of God. Give Him praise this morning, church. God bless America.
Beautiful, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
That's what the world sees. That's the whole story.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. All the truth.
No, there's no truth in that Bible. There's nothing with God. You know, okay, you believe what you believe. I just pray that God opens your eyes someday. Our works aren't enough to earn God's grace. God gave it to you freely. He gave His Son to you freely. Nobody did anything to earn that. How many believe that? If you believe that today, say, thank you, Jesus. If you believe that this morning, say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on that cross. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice once for all. Once for all, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and Jesus came and saved us all. All of us. So take this and do this in remembrance of Jesus, in Jesus' name. He does ask us to do one thing. One little thing. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How about that? That'll fix them. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Use our forgiveness with us. You forgive me only as much as I forgive others. You have to call on God to ask for that. You have to believe God to ask for that. You have to know God to ask for that, and also know that God forgives those who ask. So we ask God this morning to remove our iniquities, anything that brought us away from the fellowship of the Lord, any doubts, any worries, anything that brought you away from what the Word of God says, so we all can be blessed. And we do this, and we're asking God to forgive us. We accept that forgiveness because God cannot lie. And we take this, the blood of Christ, we take this for your healing, for your body, and for your health in Jesus' name. No greater love has a man who laid down his life for his friends. We have people who have laid down their lives for people they've never met, never seen, in places they never thought of visiting, but they thought enough of God and they thought enough of their faith and how important freedom is to go and do that. This nation, the whole story, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. This nation is blessed because we call on God. We're not blessed because of what we do. We're blessed because we call on God to do it, to lead us, to guide us, to love us. That's what makes us different. This nation is a great nation. Don't worry about what man says. Just worry about what God says. That's what I'm doing. So be healed this morning. Be excited this morning about your country. Be excited about the things that this nation stands for because you're standing right along with them. You're part of the soldiers now. You're talking about God. You're all ministering to God. You're all ministering about God. So be glad about that, that you're part of His family. Give Him praise this morning as you would your father this morning. Thank you, Lord. I don't talk about the offering too much, but I had to chuckle last week because somebody told me there sure were a lot of $1 bills in the offering last week. I'm in a dilemma. God blessed my socks off this week. I can't share it with you. Not yet. I can't, but I have to tell you, if you believe me, if you don't, but He blessed me. I just am awe of that dollar extra I put in. But how many were waiting for God this week? How many were waiting, looking? Did God do anything for anybody for that extra dollar? Did you get a phone call you didn't expect from a loved one? Or something good happened? Or maybe something, you got a plan now or something good? I mean, how many expected to get something from God? I mean, did it make you think? Because, you see, God doesn't work that way. We can't, He's not a slot machine. Okay, I'm going to put a dollar in and I'm going to get two tomorrow. You see, but what you did was plant a seed, see? Now you did it, and God ain't going to forget. You might not got a bless this week, but you gave that dollar. Say, but it's only a dollar. No, you gave it. You put that extra dollar in. So God looks and says, nah, see, I can't deny myself, He said. I can't. So you say, well, if you waited all week looking, isn't that a good thing? You were excited that God was, I put a dollar in, I'm going to get something else. You say, well, it didn't happen this week. Then I tell you, get ready, because it could be this week. You don't have to give an extra dollar anymore. You gave that dollar. And when God starts, when something happens this week or next week or the week after, you're going to say, how many, if I give $2, will I get more? And see, that's just God. See, that's between you and God. But you don't have to give, but I'm just telling you, if you thought all week long that God was going to do something, isn't that exciting? You woke up every day, I put the dollar in, what am I getting? Well, I didn't get it today, I'll get it tomorrow. Well, you might get it tomorrow, because God doesn't work when we snap our fingers. He works according to the Word of God. Maybe you didn't need anything this week. I'm not saying that you have all your needs, but maybe all the bills were paid. Maybe everything is good. Maybe you had a thing this week that you didn't need that, because God likes to give it to you when you what? When you need it most. So be excited about that. Let's You see, Pastor Larry, Veterans Day is not for a week and a half. It's too easy to do it when it's here. It's too easy because everybody remembers that. It's time we remember always. Always remember the veterans and the people we serve. And remember D-Day in December and what we faced and how we faced it and how we stood with God. We stood alongside God. Those people were standing with that flag, standing with God for freedom. That's what they represented, for freedom. That's what this nation does, because we believe God. The inalienable rights, which means that you just can't change them. They're absolute, because they're from God. They're not from man. That's what this nation stands for. Take pride. Don't be prideful, but take pride in that your nation and God has made it that way, with the beauty and the natural resources and all the things that we have in this little country called the United States of America. And don't be selfish, because every other country can have it. All they have to do is call on God. The Bible says, blessed is the nation, not blessed is our nation, blessed is the nation. So pray for other nations who are suffering. That little island off the coast of Cuba, pray for those people. That island, that state called Venezuela, pray for those people. Those people in North Korea don't have any lights after 8 o'clock. Pray for those people. They're in tremendous bondage today. We need to pray, and we ask God to make something so miraculous come so everybody can see God. But right now here in this church, in your house, in this state, you see God because you're free. I mean, God loves you. He loves you, and he loves this church so much. I know he does, because we're talking about Jesus. How many people happen to see Bonnie back again? Now she's been back with us, and we rejoice in that. I rejoice myself because of Greg. I love this man. I love him, and I rejoice that he's here with me. I feel like I have a friend here with me. We don't agree on everything, trust me. We don't agree on different things, but it doesn't matter, because we love each other. That's what matters, and that's what we do in this church. We love each other, and we lift up the name of Jesus. So you be blessed. We're going to go downstairs.